Need to be aware of it. Well, this morning we're going to kind of continue on. We're going to pick up an Acts. Within Acts, is the author is that of Luke. They say that because of the mannerisms of the writing and the phrasing and how he addresses things. And so it's pretty well understood that Luke, from Luke to Acts, he's writing Acts now. And it says this in Acts 1. The former account I made, O Theopolis, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And so we're kind of fast-tracking here, is that now we just celebrated, we just went through Resurrection Sunday last Sunday, and if we would continue on this path, you know, we would still for the next 40 days look at what Jesus did, because he continued to walk this earth after he was resurrected for 40 days, being seen by hundreds of people, 500s of people, his disciples. All these people were seeing him as he went about for 40 days after he came out of the tomb. Then it's at that 50th day, and that's when we find 50 days after Easter, they call it Pentecost, and that's when he ascends, and then the Holy Spirit just comes down at that time, and then everything starts getting really active because of that of the Holy Spirit coming into the church. So we find that the book of Acts has continuing the story that Luke started way back in the Gospel of Luke. The beginning of Acts, you'd read that from verses 1 to 11, bridges the events that recorded in the Gospels and the events making the beginning or marking the beginnings of the church. Now the church is starting to pick up. We, the church, are starting to pick up steam, of course. We begin to find out that, you know, as the disciples are there, and the very beginning of that, they're hidden up in the upper room for a while because now the body's missing, and they're scared that, oh, no, the Roman guards and everybody's going to come after them because they're assuming that they took the body. So they're kind of timid and hiding, and when Mary is knocking at the door to let them know that he's gone, you know, they're upstairs like, ooh. Blinds are shut, shutters are down, and lights are low, I guess, and then they find out. So we find this, and we're going to jump into Acts to where now we're seeing this. As Jesus spent 40 days teaching the disciples, they were changed drastically. Isn't that amazing that even though all the time that Jesus was with the disciples before the crucifixion, that the 40 days after, he is changing them drastically with his teachings. He's really going down, bearing down on it now, because he knows that, you know, he's got this window of opportunity from the resurrection from the tomb before he ascends into the right hand of God the Father, that he's got to get this across to the disciples, because at that point, then the church is going to mushroom and grow. So he spends 40 days teaching the disciples, and they were changed drastically. Do you see yourself changing drastically as you read the Word of God in your life, and you are a child of God, a disciple of his, a follower of his? Are you seeing your life change drastically? I hope just answer that to yourself, but, you know, some of you are nodding and some of you are pondering like, I wonder if I am. I hope so. I hope I am. I hope we all are drastically beginning to change as we read God's Word, as we allow the Holy Spirit, because we're going to get into that, how the power and the need of the Holy Spirit, where we're at now in this life, but having that within us. So he's doing some drastic changing, and they're changing, and he's teaching them during this time that Jesus spent with them prior to his ascension into heaven. The disciples now become understanding of the following things. One, of course, number one, they're convinced that he arose, that there was a resurrection of Jesus. They saw him in the room. Thomas kind of doubted it a little bit, and he had to show him his nail-printed hands and the side and all that. And I liked where he had said that. But, you know, greater faith are those that that don't see but believe. That's you guys. That's me. Greater are those that believe that I arose, and they didn't have to put their hand in that nail print in my hand or my wrist or my feet. Do you believe that he arose? Greater are we in his eyes, because he says they don't need to touch me. They don't need to see. They just by faith, I believe and I receive this. Oh, hallelujah. So we find this, that they were convinced of Jesus' resurrection. You're convinced of his resurrection. Well, you weren't there, were you? Now, some of you might have been, and, you know, I don't know. I don't want to throw out ages and all that, but anybody over a couple of thousands of years old, I don't know, you know. But here we are. I'm convinced by reading his word. There's people out there that want to doubt this. There's people out here that want to discredit this. There's people out there that want to say this didn't happen. And you know what I say to them? It's what I think. You think what you want. I'm going to think what I want. I'm going to err on the caution of side of I want God on my side. I want to trust him. I believe his word is so true because it says so many things that happen so far apart of each other in his existence of prophecies and things like that, that no man could have put this thing together and have it so meld together, so fitted together, because man's stuff that we do is just totally fallible. My goodness. So I already know that. I wasn't there, but I just read his word. It says it's empty. These are things and the events that took place. Hallelujah. You're my Lord. Number two, they learned also that more about the kingdom of God. Now, they're still thinking about some of this stuff here when he said in verse 6, therefore, when they came together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They were still not quite comprehending the whole kingdom of things, but they were beginning to learn these things. More and more it will be brought to their attention about the kingdom of God. Thirdly, learned of where the power would come from. And where is that coming from? The Holy Spirit. The one thing that I believe the enemy wants to continue to push down and have people not really want to do a lot of understanding or get into it or allow it to really have its place within their Christian walk is that of the purpose of, the reason of, the need of the Holy Spirit. We teach a good thing, we say a good thing, we read the scriptures and the power of the Holy Spirit and all the Pentecost and all this is here in the upper room and the fire and the cloves and tongues and speaking and all this stuff. But yet there's still a lot of people out there that they want to distance themselves from that because it sounds kind of crazy. And they might say, well, that was just back then. It's not pertaining and it's not really functioning as actively today possibly. To them too. Whatever. But his word is there. Jesus said this. This is what caused me to come into my relationship with him in a greater measure than when I just began walking with him and learning about him and reading about him and seeing it in red. When my Jesus began to share that he had to go, I began to listen by what I was listening by what I was reading, and I said, I need to know about this Holy Spirit because he is so vital for me to understand the rest of the things of God. And we've got to get that message into, it's sad to say, into the church. Forget about getting it out there into the world. We got to get the church alive with the Holy Spirit and understanding of the power that is manifested through that of the Spirit so that the church that's supposed to be the church in Acts is the Acts church of today so that we see the power and the mighty move of God in our churches today. We have seen the churches just become nothing but a community socializing event that we get together, we give each other a fist bump and a high five and go on, and that's it. We don't allow the power of God to minister into his church. Whether it's the building, it's not that. Minister into us as the church by that of the Holy Spirit. That's what's driving us. That's what's leading us. That's what's sharing with us the truth. That's what's leading us, it says, into all truth of God. We've got to have that truth. We've got to have that power. As I was kind of like, I kind of visualized this when Dan was saying, you know, when you have a problem, you put it under your feet. Do you realize that sometimes the more problems you got and you keep standing on the problems, that's elevating you closer to God? Hallelujah. If nothing else, that problem's going to put me closer to God. So devil, whatever you want to bring my way, let me get closer to God. So we have learned where the power is at, and it's coming from this of the Holy Spirit. We touched upon that a few weeks prior, well, prior to Easter, you know, I was visiting about the prayer and how Jesus said, you know, hey, you know, they're going to hate you because they hated me, so you're in good company and all that. And I thought, well, that's wonderful. And then he went on to teach about the Holy Spirit and what this was all about. So the Holy Spirit, we're finding that this is such a pivotal point in people's lives of going from the resurrection of Sunday to the rest of what they've got from God. How sad it is, and how, I guess, when I shared on that Facebook, that there's a lot that goes on in the church from Easter to Christmas. You ought to come and take a few more Sundays in our churches. Because that's where the action is at. That's where the power is at. Now, does the power stay in the church? No. You are the power. You take it out, but you got to come back in to get charged up sometimes. Have you ever taken a battery and just set it on the counter somewhere and say, here, you that have rechargeable batteries, or a computer, or whatever the case might be, and say, when this thing wears down, I'm just going to set it right here and say, charge. Well, I'll go back to it 6 hours later and it'll say 0% of battery. Well, why is that? Because I didn't plug it into the source. I didn't plug it into the source that can bring power back into it so that I can unplug it to go back out and do other things with it. It's the same thing with that of the Holy Spirit. That's why the churches are important. It's not to be that you got to go to church, but you've got to go to church. It's not that you need a church, but you need a church. It's not to say that the church is the church, but the church is the church. Amen. I don't know what it's all about, but it's got to do something with the church. Big, small, indifferent, whatever, but the power comes together as we come and join together with like faith that we should rub off of each other and get powered up, encouraged, lifted up, prayed for, and whatever the case might be, so that we go back out full of power. Now, you can get the power and more power of the Holy Spirit outside the church. It happens to me, it happens to you, so I'm not dogmatic to say, if you don't go to church, you're not going to have the power of the Holy Spirit. But there's something about the church. There's something about people. My goodness. If you want to be down and out, just stay to yourself, all by yourself, secluded somewhere, and you know what? You will be down and out. Yeah, it's like Dan was saying, your faces will stuff when you're smiling. It's just normally the frown's upside down. It's just, you know, a smile is a frown upside down. Well, a frown is a smile upside down. You've got to decide how you're going to handle it. You've got to decide what you're going to do. You've got to decide. You've got to decide. You've got to decide. It's all there, but you've got to decide. It's like going to a buffet. Now, has anybody here been to a buffet? Yeah, I used to go, but it got to be so confusing, I stopped going. Because when I saw the buffet, I was going to get my $9.95 deal no matter how much I had to eat. If I had to waller out of that place, I was getting $9.95 plus. And I found out, you know, that's probably not beneficial for a person to eat. Just to say, whew, I got $9.95. Well, you get miserable. But it's like we come in and it's like we need to come to the banqueting table. Feasting at the banqueting table. The banner over me is love. Our churches have to be built on love. Our churches have to be built on receiving people as they are and allowing God to move within them, allowing God to change them, allowing God to administer to them what God wants to do to them. It's not what I want to do to Willie. It's what God wants to do for Willie. I just need to hook Willie up to God. And I say, hey, plug in, man. Go for it. I can't do it for you, but I can try to encourage you and plug you into it. And here's some scripture. Here's his word. Here's the power. Here's the Holy Spirit. Run with it. But if we all just come and sit on our laurels and go, well, it's a good Sabbath day. Pastor only works an hour and a half a day. You know? Gee. You get in what you put in. You take out what, you know, whatever you want out of the service, whatever you read his word at home, whatever you want to take out of it, you will get out of it. Whatever you put toward, whatever you apply yourself to, you will get. Amen. Amen. You apply yourself to his word, you will get more of him in your life. You apply that word into your situation, good or bad, you will get more of him in that good or bad situation, into that financial problem, into that job problem, into that health problem, whatever the case may be, relationship problem. whatever it is. The more you apply this word into your life, the more God will work within your life. For Jesus said, I've come to give you life and to give it in abundance. I'm not saying I want zillions of dollars and that's what I'm waiting for Jesus. We'll drop the bank load right here. That's what that church was saying. Abundance. To me, abundance is money. No. Abundance is having a good life to where you can smile. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You can go through adversity and laugh at it. People might think you're crazy, but they already do. So why hide it? It's like, well, they just say, you prove my point. They go, what's that? Hey. Okay. They've learned of where the power would come from. One of these things, talking about in Acts, you know, Luke is sharing. And we don't even know who this Theopolis guy is. It must be somebody of stature or somebody. One of the things I was reading said it could have been maybe his master or something like that when he was like, or somebody that was controlling him, or I can't think what the word was. But, you know, whoever this Theopolis guy is, he's of some power, stature, of something. Because Luke is saying this, you know, that he has done this. And until that day, you know, he was taken up. So he's explaining the whole thing, what has taken place in Luke. And now he's in Acts. Acts is where it gets exciting. I mean, it was exciting in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. Can it get more exciting than that? Yes! The day of Pentecost. When Jesus, all of a sudden, they're looking and he's going up. And the power comes down. He goes up and the power comes down. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus said, I gotta go so that he can come. Praise God. Even today, as we read the Bible and study out what Jesus said and shared with his disciples back then, we too can take part in his work even right now. Hallelujah. Right here where you're at, in your job, wherever you live, in your community, Janesville, Rock County, in America, wherever it is, we can do the same thing that he asked back then when he said this, but you shall receive power in verse 8, 1-8, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses, or my witness to me in Jerusalem. Well, we got to be in Jerusalem or all of Judea. That's the only place it works. Well, no. It says this, and to the end of the earth. Some scriptures say, and to the uttermost parts of the world. Well, guess where Rock County's at? Guess where you're living? You're living at the end of the earth, man. So we find that the message that he was giving back then, that we have it for today, and we need it for today. Back then, those preaching the good news, though they were just ordinary people. Isn't that amazing that Jesus only picked ordinary people, not people of stature? He picked the people that people didn't like. But he had a plan and a purpose for them. Back then, those preaching the good news, though just ordinary people with the same frailties that we have today, the same limitations that we have today, they were empowered by the Holy Spirit, just as we are of today, to take the message around the world. Chapter 17. Let's see, was that here I want to go to? Let's see. 17, verse 6. Yeah. Woo. Hallelujah. We want to go to chapter 17, verse 6. It talks about what the disciples were about. All right. Tell me when you're there at 17:6. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out. Now, this is where I want to get to, this part here in the verse. Though these who have turned the world upside down, they've come here too. Wow, these guys are fanatical people. They've come here and they're turning the world upside down. They were turning the world upside down because they were the church in action. They were sharing the good news. As many times as the government there wanted to shut it down, close it down, keep it from spreading, you cannot stop the spreading of the gospel. Man cannot, no matter how much they try, how much the enemy of this world or the God of this world, how much Satan wants to shut down the gospel of God's message going around this world, it appears at times that it does. We look at it and by our appearance we say, oh boy, it's not happening. Oh boy, it's being delayed. Oh boy. But it ain't going to be shut down because it wasn't shut down back then. It was going around. The more they try to squelch it, the louder it got. And that'll happen today. You'll find it even today that we find the things that are happening and even the things over in the Middle East and the things that are taking place upon Christian lives and Christian people and groups, that the more that these things and the martyrism and the things that are happening to them, all it is doing is they're just stirring up more of the power of God. Because people hear that, people read this, people see that, and they go, there's got to be something about these people that are so connected to this God that they won't even deny him. Choose this day who you will serve. These people are turning the world upside down and now they've come here. Wouldn't that be amazing and wonderful that people around the town of Janesville and Evansville and Rock County and all Midwest would say, these people that are child of God, these guys and women, they're turning this world upside down in my life. Because of the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit goes. It's not us. It's not me. It's not you. Look, I can't even tear this paper. I'm so weak. Oops, I did. Must be a weak piece of paper. But I can't do that. But it's the power of the Spirit within us because it's talking about that of the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's see here. Those have turned the world upside down. My, who here would like to be known as world changers? Having it said that, oh no, here comes Lou. Oh no, you know, here comes Laura. Here comes Willie. Here comes Sherry. Oh boy, when they come into a thing, here they go. They're just going to, you know, turn this world upside down. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit was sent so that God would be with and within his followers after Jesus returned to heaven. So we find that through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, there's going to be some of these things. It talks about that of comfort. My goodness. Al was stressing out. We have to pray that stress is gone and comfort moves in by that of the Holy Spirit. Joy is there. Is the problem gone? No, but it'll be taken care of. Hallelujah. We're going to stand on the problem and praise God. And say, it's all yours, God. But we also find comfort. Well, this thing's going on here. There's going to be a guide. He will guide us into knowing the truth of God. John 16:13. You can look there or take a note, but back there it's talking about leading us into the things and sharing what God has said. So we find out that the Holy Spirit will comfort us. The Holy Spirit will guide us into knowing the truth from God, not from man, not from a seminary, not from commentaries, not from man's books that they write about what they write about, what God they think they're talking about, and this is what God is all about. Take his Bible and just get alone with the Holy Spirit and say, open it up to me. I'm going to read your word, God. And those parts and things that I don't understand, Lord, I'm just going to ask you to enlighten me by that of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's not to say that, you know, you don't pick up a commentary and you read some of these things and you read a little about here and a little that to kind of get a gist of some things. But too many people sometimes look at those as the gospel. Well, this man says this, so that's what that really means. Well, no, because I can find three other guys that say the same thing, but they're different. Or not the same thing, but they'll look at the same structure of whatever's kind of vague in scriptures, and you'll have five different people have five different thoughts on it. And they always say, well, this is my surmising of what I think it's about. As soon as I read that, I go, okay, well, that's what you think. Okay, Lord, now what is it? Is it that way or not? I don't know. And there's some good knowledge in those things. I'm not saying that. But you've got to be careful that you don't just take that and take away from the Bible or what God's Word says. Because God's Word is not confusing. When God says, come unto me as little children, it's pretty simple. We try to make it hard because our mind tries to figure this stuff out because our mind doesn't comprehend it. So we got to turn it into our heart and say, well, Lord, I don't understand it. We're taking this study on Wednesdays, and it's talking about to be like Jesus. And we're going to get into some things in the next 10 weeks about prayer and worship and some other things of that area. And it said the hardest part to do is get the 12 inches between here and here causes such a stumbling block in a person's walk with God. For 12 inches, can you believe 12 inches can be such a stumbling block? Because your mind wants to reason it out. Your mind wants to kind of like, well, it doesn't make sense. Okay, so it doesn't make sense. But by faith, I understand I'm going to trust and believe God. And that ultimately it's going to come out okay. So we find that as we read through this, and we find that he's going to guide us in the truth. He's going to remind us of Jesus' words in John 14, 26. He's going to bring to recollection these things. He's going to give us the right words to say, the right words to say as you go and visit with people, as you share with people, as you talk to people, as that person needs to hear something from God, you will say something. It's not going to be maybe monumental in your life, but it's going to touch that person's heart, exactly what they were maybe asking God about or quizzing God on or trying to figure out from God. And you're going to say it and you didn't even know it because the Spirit's intertwined and is moving through, and the Spirit is doing what the Spirit does, speaks the truth of God through us, fills us with power, Acts 1:8. That's that 1:8 where we've already read that. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. Well, this is Luke kind of sharing to Theophilus here. He's kind of telling them, hey, this is what's happened. Here we go, the former account that I made of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles. We're going to find as we dig into Acts, this gets exciting. It gets powerful. It gets encouraging because that same Holy Spirit is working within you today if you will allow him, if you will receive him. And how many here, think about yourself. We've got to, I don't know, if you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, my goodness, let's fill you with the Holy Spirit. I can't do it, but just open your arms and say, hey, come on in. Fill me with the Holy Spirit that I can receive from you, God, what I need to do, that I can have that power to go forth. How can you stand? How can you go on? How can you handle these things? It's not my power, it's his power, it's his strength. How did Jesus go to the cross? By the power of God in him. He was weak, he was sorrowful, he was, oh, take this cup, I don't want to do this, and if it's not, but not my will, but yours be done. It's interesting on some of the videos and things that you'll see that it seems like they portray it to where, you know, it's kind of interesting. It's probably one of those things that I can't think of all the stuff they do, but where they show him like crawling on the cross. You know, here he's laying there and Jesus is actually inching himself on. You know, it's just a pointed thing saying, you know, that could have happened because, you know, he willingly went to the cross. He could have called legions and tens and thousands of legions of angels to come down and fight, and the whole thing would have been totally different, but it would have been not God's plan. So I could see that, you know, those things of happening that Jesus might have crawled on the cross and say, okay, I'm going to make it real easy for you. Here you go. Because he was going to fulfill what God the Father wanted to be accomplished. Couple of things here. The Holy Spirit marks the beginning of the Christian experience. In Romans 8, 9. In Romans 8, 9, it says this. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And it goes on like, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus in 11 from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. So these are some things, the vital importance of the Holy Spirit. There's other things, that we cannot be joined to Christ without the Spirit, that we cannot be adopted as his children without the Spirit, that we cannot be the body of Christ except by the baptism of the Spirit. We find that the Spirit is the power of a new life. He begins a long time or a lifelong process of changing us as we become more like Christ. We find that in Galatians 3:3. We're finding this, that the Holy Spirit, we have to understand how vital the Holy Spirit is in our walk with God, in our development, our maturing, our perfecting. You know, be ye perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. Perfect, perfection, maturing, growing, developing in these things that God has for us. And as we follow Christ, as we receive him, as we have that relationship with him, so we become to change, we need to change. Are you changing? Are you changing from what you were to be closer to what he wants you to be? I hope and trust we are. It's a process. It's a transformation. It just usually doesn't happen overnight. It'd be great if it did, wouldn't it? Boom! I've arrived. Boy, that was easy. But it's a process. It's a working out. It's these things that develop within us. And it's only that we go through difficult times that your faith muscles begin to get stronger so that you become even stronger in faith. Then it's like, well, how do I get that power to do that? How do I have that strength to do that? It's not by that of Jesus, it's by that of the Holy Spirit. Well, now it's the three in one, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But we find that the power of the Holy Spirit within us gives us that strength, not my strength. Isn't that, Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done, Father. We've got to remember that when we go to prayer and we ask God for things. It's got to be, Lord, my way and what I want is probably at times totally different than what you have for me at this time. And I don't understand the ins and the outs, and I don't know where this is going to go, but I have got to know, and I want you to know that I have faith, Father God, that you know much better than what I need at this time and how it happens and what it's going to take, that you can turn that over to him. Amen. We are in this process now of starting this series in the adult Sunday school of God's at War. We think of God's at War, it's like, oh, all these, you know, things that are happening in the spiritual realm and all this. No, it's talking about the gods that are in your life. It's anything that you turn to before you turn to God to help you through a situation. You can't deal with the life and you turn to alcohol. Alcohol is your god. It's your idol. If you can't deal with stress and you do drugs, drugs is your god. Eating is your god. Sex is your god. All these things, these are the things that are at war within us where we're at. And how fitting it is as we come out of Easter and resurrection of Christ to understand that there's gods at war in each one of our lives. You all, me included, each one of us are battling something. I look out here, I know there only might be one person that's perfect. But we're dealing with something. We're battling something. And the thing is, we've got to understand what that is. And I would encourage you to come to those series on those DVDs of Kyle Idleman sharing the gods of these things. Power, money, success. My goodness. And as it was brought up, you know, like family and job and all that, those are all vital things that we need to have. It's not to say, well, you don't do all that stuff because I don't want to become a god. No, you do all those things, but you keep it in the order that it should be. Hallelujah. God, my spouse, my kids, and then my occupation. Even as a pastor serving God, God, my wife, my kids, you people, the church. You got to have proper order, guys. Once you don't have proper order in your life, everything's topsy-turvy and everything's upside down. My pleasures, my wife, my job, my church, or God. So as we all focus and put God first in all that we do and all that we have, it'll all work out, I'll tell you that. Well, I don't know, I don't understand how this is going to work out if I put God first in my marriage. I don't understand how this is going to work if I put God first in my job. I don't understand how this is going to work if I put God first in this relationship. Try it. Try it. Pretty soon, you'll be smiling all the time. Amen. Because God is there. God is walking there with you. He's right beside you. He's taking care of it. He sees a problem coming up that you don't even know. Why is that? Because you got him first in your life. And he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I go before you. I go behind you. I go around you. That's my God. That's who's going for me. That's why it's vitally important. That's why it's silliness that we don't put him first in our life. Because if we have him first in our life, the rest of this life is just joy. Strength, peace, comfort. Oh, you're not going to go through adversity? Yes, I'm going to go through adversity. Because Jesus said, you're still going to have trials and tribulations, but I'm going to be there with you. So it's not to sit there and deny problems and stress, and it's going to be a rough road at times, but God is there. Oh my gosh, we got the best. You're going to have stress, problems. You had it anyway. That's what this life is all about. You're born into chaos. You come into this life, everything's an upheaval. There's no set direction. There is no set focus. There is nothing that's consistent in this world but change and disorganization. So it's going to be here no matter what, if you got God or not. But you might as well grab God and say, you're first in my life, and let's deal with the rest of this junk. Well, let's let you do it, God. That's somewhat, as we wrap up this thing now, being that it's pushing 12, that's why it's somewhat, I don't say disheartening, but I guess maybe it is, I don't know, but you see people come out for Christmas, and you see people come out for Easter, and they're all, oh, hallelujah, Jesus, rise for me, and all this is happening, and then you don't see them. I would venture to say they're not living a victorious life. I don't want to consider that as judging them, but I used to be like that. I know when I only came to church on certain times and certain time frames and whatever was going on, that my life was not totally filled with the abundance of God. But yet I wanted to go and participate in all the holidays that had God in them. I wanted to do my Christian duty. And then they leave, and then they're having rough times, and they go, I don't understand, I went to church, and this is happening, and I'm still struggling, and all that. And they might say, well, how about you, Tim? I go, you know, I went to church, and I had some struggles, and I had a rough week last week, but, you know, I came through it. Hallelujah. And I'm smiling, and I'm happy, and I'm praising God. Well, how is that? Because I stay connected to my source. I stay connected to my power. I stay connected, just like if I don't plug this thing into the proper source, it'll stay at zero battery power until freezes over. If I don't make the connection. So these families and individuals and things that come and they wonder why, they're just like, ooh, I come and I give him a shot and it's good for 3 days and then what happens? Well, you better come longer than that. It's a process. It's a process, but it's a great process to be in. The Spirit is the power of our new lives. When we receive Christ by faith, we begin an immediate personal relationship with God. The Holy Spirit works in us to help us become more like Christ. Just as we close on that, all you've got to do is come. You don't have to try to move and try your mojo on it to try to make it to work. You just come and freely give of yourself and say, I'm yours, God. Come in me, fill me, use me, work through me. I'm yours. And give yourself to him. And then he will start that process of strengthening you, cleaning you up, whatever, cleaning you out, focusing your attention on things that should be, taking your attention off of things that you shouldn't be looking at or thinking about. Or what's taking you away from him. He is a God that's a jealous God that says, I want, Tim, 110% of your attention. I probably struggle at times to give him 80% or 60% maybe. you know, because there's all kinds of other things going on at times. But I know ultimately that I've got to get to that point where as best I can, if I'm missing it, I've got to grow in it and say, Lord, I've got to give you more of my attention. But what's that attention? Reading the Word, you know, 24/7? No, it's just being with Him. It's just talking to Him. It's just talking, driving and visiting and sharing and loving Him and saying, Lord, how powerful you are, how loving you are, how wonderful you are. Thank you, God. That's taking time with Him. How many people do you think in this life, after they left a service last week, had hardly any thinking of God this whole week? I don't know. I don't have a number. But it would be amazing to find out. As we normally, as humans do, the longer we get away from something, the less we think of it. That's just common knowledge there, I think. So the longer we get away from connecting with God in a church service or connecting with fellow believers or coming to be a part of a corporate body of His church, His kingdom here on this earth, the further we get apart from that, the less we think of it. Well, if you're not going to think on the things of Christ, you're going to think on the things of the devil. You will serve one of two gods. You will think of the things of the kingdom and the authority and all the things and what God wants, or you're going to be consumed by the things of this world and this life that are temporal, passing away, and you ain't going to take them with you when you go before God and stand before Him. Well, anyway, it's good. We'll have to get into some of this and understanding the Holy Spirit. It's so powerful. I know we touch upon it and we visit on it a little bit and then pull back from it a little bit. But for I think the time as we come out of Easter, and I just ponder, just think through the next 40 days. Just think, as Easter has happened, for 40 days, Jesus has been walking the planet, you know, walking and being amongst His people and talking and visiting and all these things. And that's where, as we look at the calendar in May, Pentecost Sunday, that's the 50 days afterwards. Hallelujah. Woo! Wouldn't that be something about the 50 days after this that all of a sudden the power of God just really just comes down in His churches? Because the church has been so dry and so dead for so long. Maybe these holidays come around every year because it gives us a chance to recoup, to recharge, to rethink about what Jesus was all about. Heavenly Father,